Hello, hello, hello. I am your Leo Robitschek, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I am your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And how y'all doing? We are barreling, and I mean barreling on a chariot of fire towards summer here in New York. Like 3 days ago, it was, what, 55? Now it's almost 90. And it's going to be stunning and gorgeous for the rest of the week. How are y'all doing out there? If you're not in a place with nice weather, I'm sorry to rub it in your face, but we haven't had nice weather in a really long time. But I bet you I would put money on the fact that it may like snow here in New York by the end of April, because Mother Nature is unhinged. But I will take what I can get for now. Dining outside, having rosé on the roof, you know, all the wonderful things that come with the nice weather. Other than that, not much more to report. The diet is dieting and it is working. I will be in Mexico in a week for this straight wedding. Lord, help me. But at least I'll look good, right? Right. Listen, I need to get to the getting on, because I have been literally chasing this person. I all but took a flight to LA to get this person to come on the podcast. And I am so excited that she is here. So without further ado, please help me welcome the one, the only Bad Birdie. Say hi.
Hey, Michael. That was a hell of an intro. I loved it.
Honey, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Happy to be here with you.
I am really excited, because you are doing the most on the internet and I live for every last splash and stir. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. It's everything. Thank you. First and foremost, thank you for giving me time out of your very busy schedule, because those videos alone, I'm sure, take hours on end. But yeah, just thank you. I'm so appreciative to have you here, and I'm so appreciative of your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to be here with you.
I love that. I love that. Well, listen, before we get anywhere, I got to do what I got to do. And
let's
in the grand tradition of In Yo Mouth, I need to wish you Happy National Garlic Day.
Thank you.
Garlic. Yeah. Now, In Yo Mouth listeners, I'm sure you probably all already follow the bird, Ms. Birdie, over here, and the cocktail fabulousness. How often are you putting garlic into these cocktails?
You know what? We actually just did a cocktail over at the Wolves in downtown LA, and it has garlic in it. It's a cocktail that's supposed to taste like aguachile. And there's garlic in the cocktail, yeah.
Oh, yes. All right. Oh, okay. Did I sense an accent? Aguachile? Are we?
Yeah, I'm Cuban. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Now, wait a minute. We may need to restart this because this podcast with my Puerto Rican ass and your Cuban one is going to be...
Oh, we're family. And we're family twice.
Yes. Hello. Hello. Well, listen, you are in luck because not only is it National Garlic Day, but it's also National Rice Ball Day. I don't make these things up.
That's an interesting one.
Like arancini. I've been watching that, what is it, Top Chef Worldwide, Top Chef National Adventure, whatever Top Chef is on. Bravo. They took like all the Top Chef winners from across the world and threw them into a crazy situation. So, and the last episode I saw was the rice episode because apparently on Top Chef, some of the like most amazing people go home when they have to cook rice.
I guess it's not everybody's skill.
Can you cook rice?
Of course. It's like a staple in the Cuban house.
Now, this is going to be very controversial, but I can't cook my mother's rice. I can, like, boil in a bag. I can throw it into a cooker, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. It's something I've...
Has she showed you?
Like, once.
Okay.
Like, once. But it's, like, kind of like that, like, gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to go to the grave with me. And I'm like, well, what sense does that make? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, then, like, how are we supposed to keep this tradition alive? But I'm destined to pull it out of her. And, I mean, you're actually really in luck. And maybe this is the luckiest day of all because I don't remember when we had the last time we had a triple day. But it's also National Amaretto Day. I saved the best for last.
Good. That's a good one.
Is Amaretto making a comeback?
I love Amaretto Sours.
Really? What year is this?
I don't care 1992? If it's coming back or not. I love it.
I mean, all the calories alone, but delicious. Listen, I'm on a weight loss journey. So
it's a guilty pleasure for sure.
When's the last time I've had an amaretto sour? What else do you use amaretto for? There's probably some. I think of amaretto and then I think of like TGI Fridays or like Friendlies or something where they make those like really like sugary ice cream cocktail drinks, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, wait a minute. What is, are we seeing like a cocktail like, or a liqueur trend this year?
Probably. Yet? Yeah. I mean, amaretto is an almond liqueur, so you can use it in a lot of different cocktails.
Yeah. Because like, you know, like that one year was Saint Germain and then like everyone was using, Aperol and that, like a couple years ago, like I was like, is amaretto back?
Oh, you know what? Last year I did do an amaretto spritz campaign. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm here for it. Listen, whether you celebrate National Garlic Day, National Rice Ball Day, or National Amaretto Day, we're not here to yuck your yum. We're only here to celebrate you. And moving right along into this day in gay history, why? Because it's important, especially these days. Did you know that in 1978, 1,500 gays and supporters rally on the steps of the state capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota, in support of the gay rights provision in the city's human rights ordinance? You know, and we're still here fighting the same fight.
Of course.
You know, I just saw, was it Minnesota or Missouri where that politician, they're banning trans rights, but he voted for child marriage.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember which one it was either, but I think it's today, too. Tennessee officially banned drag shows.
Oh, I mean, hot mess. Are you following that that Rue politicians? No, RuPaulitician's Instagram.
Oh, I haven't. I have to check that out.
It's AI. It's
okay.
AI images of Republicans, terrible Republicans in drag.
Oh my God, I have to see that.
Yes, it's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And I mean, drag just makes the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And a prettier place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Should we pause the pod and put on some wigs?
I wish I had one for you.
I mean, I have enough for all of us. Multiple changes. Listen, you know what? Shout out to all of those who are fighting the good fight for us out there. Because this ish is only getting crazier by the day. And this is just a reminder that we've been fighting the good fight for a very long time, and we will continue just that. Yes. But I want to get to the getting on and celebrate Birdie. In Your Mouth listeners, if you didn't know, but you probably already do, Bad Birdie has been described as the one-woman show creating captivating and intimate experiences for those who seek her. Yes. She has become a presence in the city of Los Angeles, in the hospitality industry, and across the globe. Bad Birdie has partnered with some of the greatest brands in the spirits industry, including Jack Daniel's, Hennessy, Crown Royal, Casadores, De Ussay, and many more. Mm-hmm. She creates global interactions unseen by any other worldwide bartender, and she has created menus and bar teams in popular metropolitan cities worldwide. Described as both a dreamer and a doer, she finds creative inspirations through many channels, including cultures, chefs, artisans, and even science. She is also the brainchild behind Kudu Owl, a hospitality service that provides custom cocktails and staff for weddings, private events, and even creates swag bags and custom bottle gifting for whatever the occasion. Yes. a Renaissance woman, if I do say so myself. You know what's funny? Because we don't often have cocktail gurus here, cocktailiers, what's the correct word here? Mixologists on the pod. We are, I can't remember when the last, lots of wine gays on the pod, but not necessarily mixologists. And so we often start with all the chef folk and the food creators and whatnot at like love of food and where it all began. And it's always like in grandma's kitchen. And we hear these lovely stories of like, you know, like,
yeah,
baking with grandma at mm-hmm. such a young age. But today we can't start there unless your mother was feeding you like
mojitos
at age five. But where does the inspiration come from? Where does the love of liquor come from?
I mean, it's more not necessarily the liquor, but, you know, the art that goes into it behind the scenes, which is my favorite part. And, you know, using those techniques that a chef would use, learning to manipulate ingredients. And I guess bartenders are a little bit, you can describe them as a chef, because what we're doing behind the scenes is using, you know, techniques that a chef would use. So this is where I get a lot of inspiration from. And I've been in the hospitality industry since I was a teenager. It's, you know, one of my first jobs. And I think as I got a little bit older and, you know, finished school, I decided, you know, this is what I want to do. And I, you know, the goal is to have my own bar and restaurant. And that's what Kudu Owl is eventually going to be.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So where did you learn, or where did you pick up this like sense, or this, or is it just a hidden talent that you discovered, right? Of pairing flavors and things together?
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, I love being in the kitchen already, and I love cooking. And, you know, being part of a big Cuban family, like everyone learns how to cook, even the kids do. So mm-hmm. I think just that feeling of wanting to be in the kitchen resonated when it, you know, when I started to bartend. And in the industry too, like the most sought after position is the bartender. It's like the coolest position. You're just like, they're like the star. And I was able to get an opportunity at one of the first bars that I started working at And the owner there made me the head bartender. And, you know, everything he showed me, I just fell in love with it.
I love that. Now, are you, when you cook or when you mix, are you a feeler or are you more like a pastry chef where it has to be exact science?
I think I'd probably a little bit of both. And if you asked me to make a cocktail on the spot, I could definitely do that just by like smell and tasting different ingredients and adding, you know, and kind of building it on the spot. I totally feel comfortable doing that.
Interesting. Interesting. Right. Because I've run the gamut, I should say, of cooking and baking, and definitely the fussiness that is baking, right? Because it has to be so exact, is not me. And I'm such a kinesthetic. I'm such a feeler just to begin with. So like you give it to me and I can smell and like, you know, and I learn by doing as well. So
it's
that sort of feel. So it's really interesting to see all of these fantastic creations and like be enamored and like wowed by just like seeing you do what you do via the interwebs and just wondering like, well, how does this really all come together? Is this just, you know, playing behind the bar, or is this really like science and exact? And it's just like, no, it has to be this.
There definitely is like an exactness to it, especially from the standpoint of your bar and restaurant, because you want the guests to have the same experience each time they come in, right? So if you have bartenders kind of willy-nilly making, you know, throwing the ingredients into whatever measurements they want, it's not going to work. You have to have consistency. But as far as like my personal style, you know, can I do something off the cuff? I definitely can. And if I have a guest that comes in that wants something unique and maybe that's not on the menu, I get that all the time. So I'll just work with what I have and kind of, you know, make something on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a full, it'll be 2 years since I haven't been in hospitality myself, but I was 23 years on and off in and out. And so sometimes, you know, sometimes I miss the hustle and bustle and sometimes I miss that like interaction. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot I don't miss. So coming full circle back to politics, you know?
I mean, it's one of those industries, you either love it or you hate it. And like the people that are in it are kind of just, they're diehard. It's hard to get out of when, you know, it's fast money. It's every day is, you know, you never know what you're going to get. It's a new day. You meet different people all the time. Yeah, you don't really get that in other industries.
Yeah. What's the draw of hospitality for queer people?
I can only speak for myself, but I feel that being of service to others is the most humbling experiences that you can do. And I think everyone should be of service. And I think everyone should experience that for themselves.
Yeah. Well, okay, Maya Angelou. You know.
It's the truth, but you know, that's how I feel about it.
One of my favorite things, Birdie, about doing what I do here, right? In Your Mouth listeners, I say this all the time, that you know, we don't know each other. And so I always say I don't want to speak too much before I hit record, because it's this natural like through line. It's this getting to know you. And it's also the surprise of the candid answer.
Yeah.
You know, I never know what I'm going to get out of my guests. And depending on whether the guest is high energy or whether the guest is nervous or so on and so forth, or just whatever. So I love when things like that come out, because it's so unexpected by me that I was like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing today. Fine. We will go down this road.
Let's get deep, you know?
Yeah, Is it Friday night already? Sorry, I just cracked myself up. Oh my God, bra brought to this podcast. We're on a queer hospitality journey now that I brought us here. I'm being of service. Do you think that, and brought to this podcast many moons ago at this point by Michael Twitty, do you think that there's such a thing as queer food, or in your case, queer mixology?
I don't know. I can't really speak to that. It's just me being who I am, you know, and whatever I want to express in the moment is how I'm going to express that into the glass, whether I'm queer, whether I'm whatever category you want to put me in.
Yeah. All right. All right. I love this question too, because it gives me, to be punny here, it gives me a rainbow of answers. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, you know, and you talk about putting yourself into it, right? But it's just like, you know, being part of the LGBTQ community here, it's not all that you are, but it's certainly a piece of who you are.
Right.
And how much of that kind of goes into or plays into what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's certainly, and we certainly here, the royal we, get a full spectrum of answers of like, oh yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or there's this part about it where it's just like, well, you know, it kind of depends on the spectrum of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. There's also the side of being different in a hospitality situation can be rough, right? We often talk about toxic kitchen culture,
yeah,
and toxic restaurant culture. Mm-hmm. here on the podcast. What has been your experience, or do you think, a better question is actually, do you think that the industry is changing and moving away from that?
I think it really depends on the place that you're working at. I mean, you have to remember too, you know, I've lived in California all my life. My experience is going to be totally different from someone that's, you know, lives in a more conservative state. I've been fortunate enough that I've worked in venues where I've received nothing but love from the kitchen, from my bosses, from, you know, staff. The only times I've had any kind of negative experiences have actually come from the guests. And we all know these are just people that are, you know, ignorant or are just, you know, we don't have time for these people.
No. My last job was on a barge here in New York City. Mm-hmm. And it was like that, like coming out of COVID where like still, at least here in New York City, still you had to be seated. Mm-hmm. And there were no menus. It was all QR codes.
Yeah.
And this barge is usually a shit show. Mm-hmm. Of like just bros and their lovers. And my favorite part was that it was just, they were like, just get the job done, Michael.
Right.
And so no came out of my mouth.
Wow.
So many times. And I was like, no, we're not doing that.
Wow.
Nope, can't do that. No, it got to the point where I was like, I don't know how many times I could say no nicely anymore.
Yeah.
So it's either this or we don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been fortunate where my bosses have actually stuck up for me in those kinds of scenarios, because I've had people that have come in and they sit down and before I can even get a hello out, they're asking for the manager. And most of the time I'm like pretty confused. I was like, maybe they had a bad experience like walking in. Maybe it was the host's fault. I just got here. And so
I'm the party. Wait a minute. Yeah.
And so actually I brought the manager over one time and I'm standing there like listening to a conversation. And this woman says, I don't want to be served by someone like her. And I was like, what? Like, I was like jaw dropped. I couldn't believe it, because I see myself as such a like nice person and just easy to get along with. And so my manager was pretty much like, look, she's actually like the best employee in here. So if you don't want to be served by her, you can just walk out. So the lady walked out.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Shout out to good support staff, yeah, right?
That's right.
Which is few and far between sometimes.
Right.
You know, speaking of experiences, and before we cut out to the break, I always say that our stories are important because we never know who's listening.
Of course.
And who we can affect. And I was wondering, just because we're on this like queer hospitality journey, if you wouldn't mind sharing your coming out story.
Of course. Yeah. So I didn't come out until I was, I think, my first year in college, first or second year. So I was, 19, 20. And I've known since I was 5 years old. I just remember, like, my best friend, her name was Sarah. I had a crush on her, whatever that means when you're 5 years old, right? And obviously, being that age, you don't understand it yet. But as I got older, I knew deep down the feelings that I had. And I went to a private, private school all my life, private Catholic school. Through elementary school, private high school, Catholic high school, all girls. And
oh my God, you and I are the same.
Oh, and it was like, in high school, it was like, I was petrified. There was no way that I can tell anybody. And I dated, I had a boyfriend for a while. Obviously, that didn't work out. And when I finally got into college, I felt like, okay, there's more people here. I feel like I can maybe start to express who I really was. And the first person I came out to was my brother. Of course, you know, he was like, dude, you're my sister. I love you no matter what happens. My brother actually had this situation where my dad kind of asked my brother, like, you know, I know your sister's gay. Why doesn't she tell me? And my brother told him, you know, well, she doesn't want you to think any less of her. And he's like, that, there's no way, I love her, like, that's my daughter. So I didn't even have to tell my dad. He just asked my brother, and, you know, we were fine after that. My mom is the person that I was actually terrified to tell. And I told her, and she was actually like, her reaction was more of like a confused reaction, as if, you know, she actually said, you know, well, how do you know if you haven't even dated that many guys yet? Which is, you know, kind of an upsetting thing to say. But she was actually okay with it afterwards. She, you know, after the next day, we talked about it again. And she's like, you know, I love you no matter what. This is, you know, if this is what you want, you know, I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. First and foremost, thank you for telling your story and letting me carry that for you. Secondly, we are very parallel almost in our stories of like kind of coming out. My mother took out all the loans for me to go to private Catholic elementary school, all boy Jesuit private school. Took forever to pay those loans. Jesus, you know? And then, I came out to my brother in college. And he was like, yeah, whatever, fine. And then he said, can I be there when you tell mom? Because he knew she was going to freak out. Oh, my God.
Then did she?
Yeah. And then I threw her into the deep end of the pool.
Okay.
Like, I was 21. She was the last one I told. And I threw her into the deep end of the pool once it was, like, out of the bag. Mm-hmm. Which, when you're 21, you don't care. I didn't care. I just wanted to be out and proud and like, And like, in hindsight, I probably should have given her some time before like sitting her down to watch Queer as Folk with me, the old Queer as Folk, you know, and like all this other stuff. Listen, we used to have prayer sessions on the drive up to college that I'd find a girlfriend.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's the story of my grandparents. Like, you know, every phone call, every time they lived in Miami, but every phone call, it's like, you know, when do you have a boyfriend yet? You know, when are you getting married? When are you going to have kids? And what do you say? You know?
Yeah. You're like, what? Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
You laugh it off.
Yeah. You're like, okay. Yeah. Wait, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for a while, I had one of my best friends. He was like my pretend boyfriend, you know, so just to appease the family, we pretended.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Shout out to all the besties that like are our beards, you know. Yeah. Hugh Jackman and Miss Thing. Allegedly. Oh my goodness. We are having too much fun here. And I think now is a time. We should have made cocktails for this. Hello.
I know, right?
What are we doing? You should have sent me a recipe. I would have made it terribly, right? Because my friends say I make terrible cocktails. But I don't. I think I make delicious cocktails.
As long as you
love
them.
They're just a little... They're a little I'm heavy-handed. Okay. I'm just heavy. I'm heavy-handed, you know?
You're trying to get the party started.
Hello, always. Always. I'm always the one with the shots. I'm always the one, you know, a sneak shot, a little extra here, you know, a floater, whatever we need. Well, anyways, I need a drink, and so do you. Okay. So we're going to be right back with my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast.
Let's do it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Birdie, I hope you're ready for my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast. A little something we like to call Food News Update. Food News.
Ooh, honey,
you ain't ready,
girl. Spill the tea.
News Update. You can spend your summer sleeping in a giant can of beans and exploring national parks.
What?
Yep.
That's real.
Bush's Beans. Yeah, this is very real. Bush's Beans and the National Parks Foundation want to make your summer vacation an unforgettable one. So they're working together to give away a few trips to some of America's most beautiful parks. But you'll be sleeping in a massive can of beans. It's like, it's a play on a camper. It's a can-per.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's pretty creative, I guess.
Right? I mean, wait, first and foremost, do you like camping?
I do like camping.
Oh, you're from LA. Of course you do, right? Nature and hikes and things. No.
My wife doesn't. She likes glamping.
Yes, I need a glamp. Yes. I need a proper bath. Put me in a cabin.
Yes.
Put me in a cabin where I have to pump the water to make the shower work. Great. Mm-hmm. But I need an enclosed area.
Yes.
You know, I don't need a... I would stay in this can, you know?
A lot of campsites, though, have like, amenities. But there's some that, you know, have zero amenities. You got to makeshift your own. I like the in-between. I like some amenities.
Yeah. So apparently Bush's Baked Beans are a park-friendly fuel with plant-based protein. And so they're also infinitely recyclable and completely shelf-stable. So they make this... The whole inside of this camper is Bush's Baked Beans decorated. And the winners won't have to cook for themselves, as the prize package includes bean-filled breakfasts and dinners made by a private chef, along with to-go lunches so the guests can take their meals into the parks for picnics.
I hope they're providing some enzymes with those all the beans they're going to be eating.
I mean, hello? Wait a minute. Is this adding to, like, the ozone layer and the gas emissions then? I didn't even think of that. That's funny. Listen, I'm Latino. Beans don't feed. Beans don't mess with me like that.
They don't mess with me either.
Yeah, like it's part of like just me. Speaking of beans, and this is yet another poor Latino thing that I do, like just questionable Latino antics that I pull. I have discovered this is all non-sponsored, y'all. None of this is sponsored. I have discovered at Whole Foods these bags of pre-made, like, sofrito pink beans, Cuban black beans, called Fielos, I think, from Whole Foods.
I haven't seen that.
They are delicious.
What do you just microwave it?
I don't have a microwave. I don't like this. I don't like the science oven.
Okay.
But you know, you take the bag and you throw it in a pan, cover it.
Wow.
Heat, bing bang boom, quick and easy.
Wow, I'm gonna have to go find those.
Listen, it's for the girl on the go.
I like that.
I think we're here for this bean camper, whatever the hell it is, right? I mean, it's getting in touch with nature. It's a free trip, and it's a and you get a chef with you. Hello, who's better than the people who win this?
Hey, when you explain it that way, it does sound pretty good.
Yeah, if you want to find out how to win, figure it out yourself, because they're not paying me. Baseball's new pitch clock could affect when you can buy a beer. Major League Baseball pitch timer means shorter games and potentially less time to buy beer. How do we feel about this?
What? Okay, wait, how does that even work? So you have a certain amount of time when the pitch timer goes on.
Sports, you see? I brought sports to the gay podcast, right? But well, you as a queer female should know these things, right? Stereotypically.
No, I could care less.
The role of the eyes? The role of the eyes said it all.
You're going to time me on when I can go get my beer? I'll just, like...
So the only reason I know about... how long you have to buy beer at games is because my brother and my mother are huge baseball fans, right? My brother, the Yankees, my mother, the Mets. We usually take her birthday is usually around opening day. So we'll take her to the game. It's the three of us. It's a family event. I hate it, but it's the only thing we do together. Right. So like I do it for that,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so I think it's like by the end of the seventh inning, you can't buy beer anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right? Because they stop it so people aren't wasted.
Right.
Like, getting out and whatnot. And if something crazy happens during the game, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So now there's a pitch timer.
Okay.
So now they're trying to shorten these games or, like, you know, contain the time that these games last so they're not forever long. And so it means that, like, it's now, like, it shortens the time in which you can purchase alcohol. I picked this for you because it's alcohol based. Okay, just go with it.
I mean, I guess I kind of try to leave before, like, you know, the crowd starts leaving anyway. So I'm okay. Maybe when I see the pitch timer goes on, that's my cue to get out of the game.
Well, there's a pitch timer for like every pitch, right? So the newly implemented pitch timer gives the pitcher 15 seconds to start their delivery if all three bases are empty and 20 seconds to start when there's at least one runner on base. Yada, yada, yada. Timers. But there's also been some concern that shorter games will give fans in the stands fewer free minutes to visit the concession stands to buy beer. And you know what? Let me tell you something. This is actually... now that I'm thinking about this a little, this is actually a thing because at least here at Yankee Stadium and Citi Field, the lines are so long. Like my mom and my brother, I'll let them go sit. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, I'll wait in line. I don't really care. Go live your lives over there. But like, it'll take me 45 minutes. It'll be a good 45 minutes before I can get a hot dog and a beer
or
a drink. So, like, this, like, condensation of time is, like, do we watch the game or do we get the booze?
Right.
You know? I don't know. I don't really don't care, though. I feel like you and I are very indifferent about this. I literally just picked it because it was alcohol-related. And I try to tailor... You know what? I'm a good person. I try to tailor food news update to my guests. 5 years later, over 5 years later, I have learned the lesson.
Yes, doing God's work over here.
But listen, this one's going to resound with us no matter
what.
Because last but not least, J-Lo just dropped a line
of
bottled cocktails and the internet is angry.
I did see
this
that.
This is a twofold.
I did see that.
This is a twofold food news headline,
yes.
Right? Because it's you. First and foremost, how do you feel about these celebrity bottled cocktails?
celebrities in general, I really don't care for, you know, the spirits or the bottled cocktails or the stuff they put out. I rarely find one that I really like, or I thought that was
not
done.
Like an Alizé.
I know, right?
Not that blue bottle.
I mean, when I was 18, or, you know.
Oh my God, my mother was obsessed with Alizé. So it would always be in the fridge. I'd take a little sip here or there, be like, ooh, this is like pineapple-y. Right?
I mean, but in all seriousness, yeah, all these celebrities now, it's just one after the other trying to come up with their own brand, their own spirit brand, or own bottled cocktail.
These sound a little sugar heavy, but maybe kind of good.
We'll see. So, I mean, I'm going to sample them for sure.
Yeah, it's called DeLola Cocktails, mm-hmm. and they're gluten-free, mm-hmm. right? Lola, it means of Lola. Lola is to J-Lo as Sasha Fierce is to Beyonce, we've just discovered, mm-hmm. right? Well, she made Lola mm-hmm. up, right? So DeLola Cocktails are gluten-free and are available in three flavors. Bella Berry Spritz. Palma Rosa Spritz and L'Orange Spritz. The Bella Berry has vodka base. Paloma Rose uses tequila. Mm-hmm. And L'Orange features Amaro, which I'm obsessed mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. Actually, especially the dark Amaros. Delicious.
I mean, I'm curious to try them for sure. And, you know, she's Latina. We have to support her.
Yeah, I feel like they're just going to be way too sweet. Yeah. It's just going to be sweet. Like a sugar bomb. But the internet is angry, and you want to know why? Because J-Lo, for years, professes that she doesn't drink. And the whole thing, her whole promo, her whole thing, was like, I wanted something light to sip on. I needed something light and refreshing. This is like a cocktail for the people, so on and so forth. Number one. And then number two, she's married to a recovering alcoholic who's been in rehab. Several times. Yeah. So the internet is like, why did you not create a non-alcoholic spirit?
I mean, I wonder who her target market is for this, because the brand feels very like...
Our mothers.
Our mothers, but even like, you know, not Latinos. Definitely not Latinos. Like, I don't see any Latinos drinking that stuff.
I mean, like... You know, the fancy, not fancy ones. Like the ones that, like, I mean, I love our people, but like sometimes, like, you know, there's just part of the culture that it's like, ooh, this is fancy. And here comes this bottle. And you're like, okay, yeah, Titi, like, sure, right?
I mean, J-Lo just has those diehard fans, though, that they're going to support her no matter what she does. But I don't think it was probably the best next move for her to do.
No, especially... Like, how do you feel about these non-alcoholic spirits? Because I've had some delicious ones.
I've had some really good ones, too. And there's definitely a market for it. And I'm looking at it from a perspective of people just want to have the same experience of drinking a cocktail. But because they're trying to make more health-conscious choices, they want something that doesn't have the alcohol. So I can understand it from that point of view.
Yeah, there's a bar here in New York, a gay bar here that has done sober tea mm-hmm. dances. And so they bring in all these non-alcoholic spirits, and it's mm-hmm. packed. And I'm like, this is such a missed market mm-hmm. throughout, right? Because especially in the queer community, there's like, you know, sobriety galore.
Well what you're going to start seeing now here in California is now we have that market for non-alcoholic spirits, but we're going to see restaurants that are doing THC and CBD infused foods and drinks. And because THC and CBD have such regulations, you can't be mixing alcohol with THC and CBD. So now these non-alcoholic spirits are going to be in these THC CBD restaurants where you can have these cocktails that have a little bit of CBD or have a little bit of THC in it.
Oh, mm-hmm. I loved a canned THC cocktail. A canned weed seltzer. Sign me up. You know what, J-Lo? Maybe that's what you should have done, right? And you could have called yourself California Sober. Go. And with that, I think that's the best way to end food news update. Yes. I mean, ridiculous. Ridiculous. take that to the bar with you. Oh my god. No, I live for but I do live for a THC like canned mm-hmm. seltzer.
Yeah.
You know? It's cute. You are mm-hmm. aware, but you mm-hmm. feel good. You know? You're not crazy. I mean, and also back to Amaro. I want more dark Amaro in my life.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, okay, what do you want me to do about that? You know? Because there's always like the light ones, but like the Amaro Negros.
The rich ones. Do you have a collection at home?
So no, I live in 120 square feet in Times Square. There's no room for a collection right. of anything, except, you know.
I'm going to have to send you a bottle anyway.
Yes. Oh, my God. You know, back in the day when I first moved into this apartment, they used to call. I have a full-size bed in my 120 square feet here because it's just me, mm-hmm. obviously. And, you know, so I have to find creative ways to store things. And I had just so happened to be getting a lot of booze, right, from all sorts of places. We won't talk about it, how that came into my life. But the entirety of the bed underneath it from head to foot was all wine and liquor.
Wow.
All of it. So much so that we used to call it the cellar. And so when my friends would come over, I'd be like, you want wine? You want a drink? They're like, yeah, what do you got? And I'd be like, hold on, let me go to the cellar. And I'd like dive under the bed and you'd hear all this clanking. I'd be like, well, there's this Barbaresco from 2019. You know?
I love that.
Oh my God, it was insane. And my best friend and I were thinking about creating like mm-hmm. a menu so that way I wouldn't have to go into the cellar and like with a flashlight.
But then you have to keep inventory.
Yeah, and then that's why we never did it, because that was too much work, you know? So what's next for you? Enough about me.
So next is focusing on opening up my own bar and restaurant. So Kuruel currently is just private events, and we are actually building a 14-foot mobile bar trailer. And with the trailer, we're hoping to do events like Pride. There's some events happening in downtown LA that we're going to be doing, like art walks and stuff like that. A lot of vendors are coming out, food trucks, and we would be a part of that. Even like festivals, we're trying to do Coachella. So there's a lot of fun stuff coming up, and we're currently looking for a space in Pasadena to open up our brick and mortar.
Yeah, I hear, you know what, speaking of Coachella, I hear Cap'n Crunch's 60th mm-hmm. birthday is the hottest party to get into
really?
At Coachella.
Oh, nice.
According to Food
and
Wine.
Are you going to Coachella this year?
I do look like I can afford Coachella, but I can't afford Coachella. <You know? laughs> I won't be going this year, and I haven't been any mm-hmm. other year. But I would love to, you know? I'd love to live like, you know, a little hippy dippy sort of like in flowy fabrics, and you know, maybe next year. That also takes some planning.
Sure.
And I'm out of vacation days already. I've never been to LA.
What?
I've been all over California, not LA.
You gotta come.
Everyone tells me, because I'm such a born and bred New Yorker, that I wouldn't like it. But I'm also not the type to be like, oh my God, New York is so great. Like, you know,
it helps having show you like where to go.
Okay. So that does that mean you're sending me a bottle and a plane ticket?
Let me make some extra money.
Oh my God. Listen, with all those sponsorships, right? Honey. All right. Because I know what those sponsorships pay me, and my videos aren't half as good as yours. So.
I'm going to put an extra fee in there for you. In your mouth.
Listen,
plane ticket.
Build right? it in. Build it in, and they will pay for it. Just be like, oh, yeah. Like, I literally have thing of something in the works with like a chicken farm.
What? But you know what? Honestly, why are the plane tickets so expensive to go, you know, to travel anywhere internet, like just in the US?
Yeah. And you get, for what you pay to go anywhere in the US, the continental US, you can go so far into Europe?
Mike, for so, like, when you're in Europe and you can, and you're taking planes from each, you know, city to city or country to country, it's so cheap. Why is it so expensive here in the U.S.?
For Mother's Day and my mom's birthday that just passed, because she's been talking about going to Puerto Rico, going to Puerto Rico, and she wouldn't pull the trigger. So I pulled the trigger for her. I bought her the plane ticket. It was so expensive. So expensive. And they're weird days. It's a Saturday to Wednesday because it was that was the cheapest. And it was still so expensive.
For no reason.
No reason. Absolutely no reason for a two-hour flight. I was like, do you know where I could have sent her for this much money? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Oh, my God. What a fun day, evening, afternoon it's been since we're living our bi-coastal dreams. Before we close out, Food 52 made cocktail predictions for 2023. There's about four or five of them. Do you want to take a stab at what you think they may be?
What do you mean by cocktail predictions? Like, what's going to be the most popular?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say, are they all refreshing?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to say, let's do...
And this is generic. For the most part, they're generic cocktails.
Okay.
Like in the sense of like it's kind of an umbrella to what it is.
Okay.
You know?
A Mai Tai?
No. I thought the Mai Tai was last year. No?
Last year was the Espresso Martini.
Which has bled into this year. Yeah, always. No Mai Tais, but we'll go one for one. No Mai Tais, but they did put on this list the New York Sour.
Oh, New York Sour, great cocktail, yeah.
What is a New York Sour?
It's just
sour?
A whiskey sour without, you could do it with or without the egg whites, and it has a float of red wine on top.
Oh, delicious.
That's actually one of my wife's favorite cocktails.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Yeah. Oh my God, that would mess me up.
Oh, it's so good.
That brown liquor and I, we do not, we really fight.
All right, I'm going to say, how about the Cosmo?
Cosmo. You know what? I see a lot of Cosmos in New York, actually, as of recently. Nope, no Cosmo. But Food 52 predicted the gin martini.
One of my favorite cocktails. Love that.
I love a gin martini. What's your favorite gin?
If I'm doing like... favorite gin of all time, Uncle Val's, which is hard to find, but I really like Sip Smith London Dry, which more bars are starting to have.
Because I do, if I'm having a gin martini, I pick the gin, whether I'm in the mood for olives and dirty or if I'm in the mood for like citrusy and refreshing. Right. So like my gateway to gin was Bulldog, because I always used to think that gin tasted like dirty money. You know, the way like dirty
money. I just like how that sounds.
Smell?
Gin tastes like dirty money.
It smelled and it tastes like dirty money, honey. But Bulldog, because it was so citrusy, was my like gateway into the gin world. Right? And you don't see Bulldog around very much anymore.
If you like dirty martinis, I make a dirty truffle martini.
Oh. Throw a blue cheese olive in there, and I will be so naked for you so fast. Not that you want to see any of this, but like, honey, you have opened the door to something. Okay.
All right.
Oh my God. The other predictions here are we at
two more?
Yeah. We have the New York Sour. We have more than two more, so I'm just going to hurry this along. Half-proof cocktails, like low ABV cocktails.
Okay.
I mean, what's the point? Like, why not just do, like, either a non-alcoholic or an alcoholic? Like, why do we have to, like, do a half cocktail?
I mean, low ABV cocktails are very popular in Europe. Like, aperitif and digestif cocktails. So, that is a thing. Yeah. Maybe that's their prediction for the U.S.,
like vermouth and things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to that vermouth bar in Madrid. Delicious. Yeah. You know? Yeah, low ABV cocktails, okay. I don't get it. Like, either we're all in or we're all out, you know? I'm that kind of fellow. Mushroom cocktails.
Oh, that's already a thing, for sure. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. At the Wolves, we have a mushroom cocktail on the menu.
I've never heard of this. I haven't seen one.
Yeah.
Like, is it very, like, earthy mushroomy?
Yeah,
like,
you can taste it. It's there. It's still a refreshing cocktail, but you can taste the mushroom in the background.
What's the booze in
it? I want to say for that one, it's a brandy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that brandy.
But this was a white brandy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Listen. Oh, I mean. And the last one here is this. Oh, wait. No, there's two more. There's the spritz, but we've been seeing the spritz forever. Yeah. Forever.
That's not
like,
going away.
It's like, it's like the espresso martini. Yes. It's not going anywhere.
That's the queer
for
cocktail
any
right time. There. Spritz.
Yeah. Love a good spritz. And then a pickleback. Is a pickleback making a comeback?
I mean, I haven't done a pickleback in such a long time. I haven't had anyone ask me for a pickleback in a really long time.
I feel like it's so like straight pub. Right. Like, it's like those still are in full circulation at all these, like, all the pubs, all like
the,
like, the dirty
bars.
Down lows.
Yeah.
All of that, you know? You know, I like a good pickle martini too.
I have a right now in my fridge, I'm doing pickled tomatillos. I'm going to do a tomatillo martini.
Yes. Oh my God. Did you char them?
They were charred, yeah.
There we go. Because, yeah, that smokiness with the brininess. Yes. Oh, I am here for that. Send me a bottle
of
that.
And there's garlic in it.
Garlic. Yeah. Are we, you know what I forgot to ask you, full circle? If it was black garlic because it was sweeter, or if it's roasted garlic because it's also, there's a lot of like sugar
roasted
content.
Roasted garlic, yeah.
Yeah, right? But like, I feel like a black garlic cocktail would be good too.
I'm going to have to try that.
Right? Because it has that like, that really sweet kind of flavor to it. I don't know. Well, we've fallen down a cocktail hole and I'm not mad about it. Right? Right. What a special day it's been. I'm going to stop talking your ear off because you're probably like, this is what I do at work all day long. Whatchamacallit. Give the kids all the handles, where they can find you, where they can see all the amazing video content you put out.
Yeah, so the best places to go is going to be on Instagram. It's at @bad_birdy, B-I-R-D-Y. And my link in bio on Instagram has everything that I'm doing. It has Kuduwell, has all my other links to all my social media. So come check it out.
I love that. And that'll be linked out in the liner notes, as always. Big thank you again for giving me of your time to come on the pod, chat with me, laugh with me, put up with my tomfoolery, all the ease.
Thank you so much.
It's been such a pleasure to have you here. In Your Mouth, listeners, go to Instagram, go follow Bad Birdy, show her all the love because this was such a special day for me. Also, last week's episode, apparently I didn't even realize until someone told me, I guess on the back end, only uploaded half of it for some reason, and that's never happened to me in 5 years. But the whole thing is there. You may have to unfollow the podcast and then refollow the podcast, and it will refresh and the whole episode will be there. It's a great episode with her, with Ajade. Go listen to her. She does such great work with the Ali Fornay Center and cooking for all our LGBTQ youth. It's definitely worth the listen, and just another great episode. And other than that, get out there, do make good choices, have good cocktails, and as always, thank you for listening to In Yo
Mouth. In Yo Mouth.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.